and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Are you ready for the word here today? Amen. We're just always, you know, eager to receive God's word. It is the word that feeds our spirit. It renews our minds. It brings strength to our bodies. You know, the scripture says that in Proverbs 4:22. It says the words of God are life to those that find it, health to all of our flesh. Amen. And so we receive God's life. Amen. We receive his health in our bodies. Praise God. Well, turn with me this morning to John chapter 16. And today I'm going to call this message, The Holy Ghost and Those Who Seek Him. The Holy Ghost and those who seek him. Folks, I tell you what, this generation that you and I live in right now, they need to see people who are interested in God. They need to see people who are interested in the Holy Ghost. They need to see people who are in fellowship with God and know him. Amen. Not saying that you don't, not saying that I don't. But folks, I'll tell you what, we have an opportunity in this very dark in evil society. We have an opportunity like never before to shine brighter. Amen. To go further. Folks, isn't it good to see souls coming to Christ? Folks, I'll tell you what, we should rejoice that we get to be around the truth, that we get to be part of bringing folks into the kingdom of God. Amen. And so let me just ask you this question. Are you interested in what God's doing these days? Yes, let's stir ourselves up. There is such an attack on the body of Christ right now to be disinterested in the things of God. We know that life gets busy. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of temptations to put other interests in front of God. You know, we think sometimes that we have a greater need, you know, in other places. I'll tell you what, the greatest need we have in this life is to know him, to serve him, to fellowship with him. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 16. If you were here this past Wednesday, I got into this passage of scripture. We're going to revisit it just briefly here. I'm not going to preach exactly what I taught on Wednesday night, but we're going to revisit this, and then we're going to move forward, and we're going to talk about the primary reason why the Holy Ghost was sent and given to us. Amen. Now, when you hear that term Holy Ghost, it is the same term as the Holy Spirit. I just like the more old school way of saying that. You know, I was raised up in a way that, we praised, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And there are people out there that try to teach that the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are two different things. That is not true. First of all, the Holy Ghost, he's not a thing at all, right? He is a he. It is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. And now we now fellowship with the Holy Ghost here in our hearts on this earth. Go to John chapter 16. We're going to go right to verse 7. And I want to just kind of set up what Jesus is saying here. Jesus in John chapter 16 is talking to his disciples, and he is warning them about some things. He is telling them that there's coming a day when people will hate you for your faith in Christ. He told them that there would be people that would try to kill you and think that they're doing a service for God. He was warning the disciples. And then he's telling them in this passage that he was getting ready to go away, that he was going to go back to his Father who is in heaven, and that he would send the Holy Ghost in his place. And of course, when the disciples, they heard that he was going away, they said that they were very sorrowful, and they started to get sad about that. So Jesus tells them in verse 7, you don't have to be sad that I'm going away. It's actually better that I'm going away. And let's get a hold of this. Now, I have my Amplified Bible here today, and so that means I've brought my X-ray vision. Praise the Lord. You know that every time I put these glasses on, a greater anointing comes upon me? No, that's not true. You know, there's people that say that stuff and believe that. They say, oh, these are my anointed glasses, or they have an anointed suit they wear. I'll tell you what, the anointing isn't in the clothing. The anointing isn't in the stuff. Amen. Glory to God. The anointing of God is in the heart. Let's go to verse 7. here in John chapter 16. Can we bring it up in the Amplified? I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible. It just makes a little bit more sense to us for us to understand. Jesus is speaking here. If you don't have your Amplified Bible with you today, we have it on the screen right behind me. Jesus is talking. They were just saying how sad they were that Jesus was going away. And Jesus says this. He says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. Everyone say profitable. Profitable. That word profitable means good. It is expedient. He says, it is advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, who is the Comforter there? The capital C. This is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit that will be sent to us and has been sent to us. Jesus says, if I don't go away, then the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and the Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. He says, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Amen. And I think it is an amazing truth that the Bible says, Jesus himself says that if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, it is more advantageous than having Jesus physically standing right next to you and talking to you. Folks, that is a shocking truth. That is a shocking truth that Jesus would say, it is better. It is more profitable that I physically leave, then I can send the Holy Spirit to you. He will then be in close fellowship with you, and it will be better if you have the Spirit living inside of you than just having me standing physically next to you. Folks, we think that those people that lived in the days of Jesus had some great advantage. That, well, they got to see Jesus and they saw what he looked like and they heard his voice and they walked with him and they heard his sermon on the mount and they saw him raise the dead and heal the sick. And we think, well, they saw all that, so they had a greater advantage. But Jesus said right there, he says, if you're living in this day with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you have the advantage. You have the advantage. Hallelujah. Jesus, of course, was limited by a human body. He could only be in one place at one time. He could only talk to one person or one group of people at a time. If you needed your comforter, if you needed your counselor, if you needed your helper and your advocate and your strengthener, if Jesus wasn't available, right, you went without. But now that he lives with on the inside of you, you never have to go without. That means your help is always with you. That means your advocate is always with you. That means that your strengthener is always with you. But the question is, are you in fellowship with him? Are you in fellowship with him? Amen. It is a shocking truth to know that we actually have an advantage over those that physically walked with Jesus. Now, many of them went on to have the Holy Spirit on the inside, but I'm saying even if you just only had Jesus walking with you physically, you have a greater advantage now that the Holy Spirit came to live in you. How seldom we have fully tapped into the potential that is in us right now. We're always looking for something out here to solve our problems. We're always looking for some strength from the outside to come into our life. But I'm here to tell you the strength of God doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. Your help is with you right now. You lack nothing that you need. Hallelujah. People always say, well, if I had more money, if I had a better job, if I had a better relationship, or I had something else, you cannot get anything better than what's already on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. But will we be mindful of that? Will we look here? See, in the Old Testament, David said, I look to the hills from where my help comes from. But the New Testament says we look to the inside where our help comes from. You don't have to look for the hills. You might have to run for the hills once in a while. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Your helper, your advocate, your counselor. What does that mean? Everything that's a mystery, every question that is going unanswered in your life is in you right now. Will you seek the Holy Ghost in your spirit until you get those answers? Yeah.
Amen.
Because of this truth, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be in us, every generation is an equal steward of the Holy Ghost. Again, we think that that first generation of Christians that saw all those miracles, signs, and wonders, well, we just think they were the powerful ones. They just happened to be the early church. And now in the last days, we've just kind of lost some of that mojo. And this is just what you get now. No, that's wrong. The same Holy Ghost that performed those miracles in the early church is the same Holy Ghost that's living in me and you right now. Every generation has an equal responsibility to be a steward of the same Holy Ghost that was given upon Jesus' ascension. We have the same responsibility. We have the same responsibility to win souls by the Holy Ghost, to teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have the same responsibility to lay hands on the sick. We have the same responsibility of all the things that the Holy Ghost does in our life. Amen. Glory to God. Each generation has an equal opportunity and an equal responsibility. Jesus says it is your advantage that the Holy Ghost has been sent to you. What does that mean? It means that we have no excuses. If our generation goes without the power of the Holy Ghost, we have no excuses. But here's the good news too. We have no restrictions either. You know, I'll tell you what, so many, even church groups, denominations, are always looking to put a restriction on the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm here to tell you, there are no restrictions. What I mean by that is the same things that the early church did are the exact same things that are available to you and I here today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have the same Holy Ghost. So we can say it this way. The availability of the Holy Ghost is the same in every generation. Whether you lived, you're on the earth right now, or you lived 200 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, but if you lived any time between Jesus' ascension into heaven up to this moment right now, the availability of the Holy Ghost has been the same for every born-again Christian. Amen. The availability and the willingness of the Holy Ghost is not the variable that determines whether or not he moves in our midst. Let me say that again. The availability and the willingness of the Holy Ghost. How many know God's willing today? He's willing. He desires. He wants to help us, advocate for us, intercede and strengthen us and counsel us. Amen. Do you believe that God's willing here today? See, if you don't get past that question, don't go any further. Seriously, if your heart is not sold out that God's willing, he's willing. What does that mean? He wants to move in your life. You know, so many Christians are standing around still debating whether or not God is willing to heal. I'm here to tell you, the word says he is abundantly willing. People say, well, I don't know if God's willing to do this, willing to do that. I'm here to tell you, he's willing. He's more willing than we are. He is more willing to show himself strong than oftentimes we are willing to receive it. Amen. You know, God's not holding himself back. Oh, boy. So what is holding God back? Let's say this again. The availability and the willingness of the Holy Ghost is not the variable that determines whether or not he moves in our midst. The variable that does determine whether he moves in our midst is our interest and our desire. His willingness is not in question. Our willingness is. Oh, are you here today? Ooh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is available to every generation of born-again believers. It is not his availability that is the variable whether he moves. It is our desire and our interests. Why did the Holy Ghost seem to move in greater ways in the past? Have you noticed that? Yeah. Our generation is sitting around wondering, how come these things aren't happening now like they even happened even back 100 years ago? How come in 1906 at the Azusa Street revival, miracles were taking place just in such abundance? How come this nation saw an absolute revival of healing between right around 1947 all the way up to 1957? There was just an outbreak of divine healing in our nation. How come we aren't seeing that right now? Or how come we aren't seeing the miracles as described in the Bible in the early chapters of the book of Acts? Is there anybody that has ever had that question before? Okay, two people, praise the Lord. Folks, we should ask ourselves, why are we not seeing what the Bible says we would see? Amen. Why is that not happening? Now, let me say this. It is happening in parts of the world. It is happening in parts of the world. But in the United States especially right now, we're seeing, a diminished level of that. Why does it seem that the Holy Ghost moved in greater ways in the past? The answer to that question is this: because there was a greater interest in him in the past. And I'm not attacking you, I'm not attacking me, I'm not attacking Christianity or anything, but it's just the truth. Because there was a greater interest in him in the past. Everybody listen to this, because this is true. And this is what you have to contend with and I have to contend with in the days that we live in. The devil has moved strongly in this modern era to give mankind different interests through media, science, and technology. That does not mean that all technology is wrong. All right, that doesn't mean that all science is wrong. All true science will point back to God. It doesn't mean that all media and all entertainment is wrong. But the devil has worked overtime in the modern era to get man's attention, to think that all this technology, all this social media, all these things are so very impressive. Because if mankind is putting on a show, God isn't going to put one on. Meaning, if we think that the greatest demonstrations are just demonstrations of humanity, then God is not going to show himself in this generation. Do you understand that? I mean, the devil wants us to be glued to our television sets. He wants us to be obsessed with social media. He wants us to be, wooed and wowed by the latest scientific discovery. You know, we're getting ready to go to Mars. What, in another 10 years, we're trying to put a person on Mars? We're getting ready. We're supposed to next year put another man on the moon, which hasn't happened since, I think 1972. And, it's a marvel to think about those things. But think about God. Think about God who created all the stars, all the heavens, all the earth, all the galaxies that we're looking at, with this big telescope that we got. He made all of that. We just jumping from our rock over to the closest other rock isn't exactly all that impressive to what he's done. Thank God for discovery and adventure, and I get interested in that stuff. Don't get me wrong. Praise God. But we're living in a time where all of us now are carrying around a supercomputer in our pockets. We have smartphones that have the capacity of 256 gigabytes on them. You have access to the internet. You can see, unlimited amount of videos. You can, talk to somebody around the world. You can email them. You can stream live, to an audience. All this stuff right from a little handheld device right in your pocket. 256 gigabytes my iPhone has on it, right? Do you know that the first computer the computer that was used at the first moon landing? Do you know NASA, when we put Neil Armstrong on the moon on July 20th, 1969, the computer that they used to compute all that, it was 1 gigabyte. 1 gig. You don't even get an iPod with 1 gig. You get a little flash drive now and it at least has 16 gigs on it, right? And that 1 gigabyte computer in 1969, it was about the size of our drum house here. It was huge. And now we've moved so forward and we're so wooed and distracted by all this stuff and this technology. Folks, the devil has moved very strongly in this modern era to distract humanity, to give us different interests other than the interests of God. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. We got to ask ourselves, who in this generation is going to go ahead and be more interested in what God is doing, more interested in his power than we are in the power of man? I'm more interested in what God wants to do. I am more interested in what God has done. I think the creation of God is far greater than anything man has created. People say, oh, wow, look at the microchip. Look at how amazing what we've done. Yeah? Well, God made the human brain. God put consciousness in, he breathed life into people. Glory to God. Why did Jesus send the Holy Ghost to us? Why did he say that it would be a greater advantage? Look at verse 7 again. He says, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you into close fellowship with you. The primary purpose of the Holy Ghost. Is everyone ready for this?
Yes.
The purpose, the primary purpose, meaning the first and most important reason why Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to us was not, stay with me here, don't get upset, don't throw the rotten fruit yet, was not to perform a miracle. The number one reason why Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to us was not to work a miracle, was not to lead us into more success or to more money. Though how many of you know the Holy Ghost will lead you into those things? He will lead you. But the primary purpose of the Holy Ghost was not to make us more successful, but it was to bring us into fellowship with the Father. What the number one goal of the Holy Ghost is fellowship. God's greatest goal is to fellowship with you. God's greatest desire is to live within you so he can fellowship with you. And we could say it this way, God's greatest need is to fellowship with you. Many of us don't realize that God has a need and his greatest need is fellowship. But yet many Christians, we want God to meet our greatest needs without meeting his greatest needs. Oh, praise the Lord. If his greatest need is fellowship, I'm here to tell you nothing else is going to happen until there's proper fellowship with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost within is at his most powerful and effective when you're fellowshipping with him personally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a greater level of fellowship. This level of fellowship is more powerful and more effective and more advantageous than if you were physically talking to Jesus when he was on this earth. Folks, let me say that again. You fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, meaning you taking time to pray, you seeking him, you taking time to meditate in his word, taking time to set aside some other interests so you spend time with him, that is more powerful and effective than if Jesus was physically on this earth talking to you. Why? Because it takes greater faith to fellowship when he's on the inside. It's a greater level of fellowship. Amen. Like I said, the primary purpose of the Holy Ghost was not to work a miracle or to lead you into success. It was to lead you and guide you into fellowship. Everything the Holy Spirit does is out of fellowship. His power comes from fellowship. He is the most active when you're fellowshipping with him. Are you here today? There's some Christians that will claim Christ, but they don't ever pray. They don't ever seek him. They don't ever, study his word or meditate in the word. Oh, they don't ever take time just to lift their hands privately and worship him and to seek him instead of just always asking him for a need. Folks, if the only time we come to God is when we have a problem, then all he is a crisis manager. That's not a father. Amen. Come on. A father is someone we're in fellowship with. We love to meet with, talk to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We cannot expect him to meet our greatest needs when we have not met his greatest needs. Amen. The Holy Ghost will not proceed to further demonstrations and manifestations if there is no fellowship. So many Christians, we try to circumvent fellowshipping with Him. We say, well, we want the miracles, we want the power, we want the blessing, and we just try to skip all that fellowship part and try to have His power anyway. If man proceeds to try to have the move of the Spirit without fellowship, it is very dangerous because it will lead to man performing in the flesh, trying to imitate the Holy Ghost without knowing the Holy Ghost. Imitating the Spirit without knowing the Spirit is very dangerous. Imitating Him and just trying to have the move of the Spirit without fellowship, this is where false prophecies come from. This is when you see Christian ministries taking advantage and exploiting people. This is where our very shallow definition of the Holy Ghost has come from in the modern generation. Folks, the Holy Ghost will provide joy. He will bring you into times of refreshing and laughter. But that's just crumbs that fall off His table. When we think that that is the highest move of the Spirit, I'm here to tell you, that's just the crumbs. When the Holy Ghost gets to moving, souls are going to get saved. Bodies are going to get healed. Destinies are going to be overturned. Cities and regions are going to be changed. Folks, miracles are really just the explosive results of us fellowshipping with Him. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it will spill over onto somebody else into your life. Amen. Don't try to circumvent around that fellowship. Oh, you know, all of a sudden we have a need. We don't spend any time with God, but then we just go to Him, begging Him for help. And because He's so merciful, because He's so good, there's times when He will be, you know, He will, you know, bless us and help us even when we haven't fellowship, because He's graceful. But I'm just here to tell you, the greatest manifestations, the greatest demonstrations of the Holy Spirit that you will ever witness in your life will first be on the inside. Will be on the inside of your heart before they start showing up on the outside. Because God's power demonstrated on the outside is just a reflection of what should be going on the inside. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Fellowship. The Holy Ghost wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to say, you know, I'm more interested in you. I'm more interested in what the Holy Ghost has to say than what the TV has to say. That doesn't mean you can't ever watch TV. All right? I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to watch some today. You know, I'm going to make sure it's appropriate. You understand? Don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean you don't have a natural life. Of course, everything's got to be appropriate. You understand? But, I mean, if we just, the only thing we care what's being said is coming out of the TV or the computer, we got to get more interested in what the Holy Ghost has to say than what some commentator has to say on the political situation. I tell you what, Christians for some reason are all of a sudden more interested in what Sean Hannity has to say. Nothing wrong, you know, I'm not criticizing Sean Hannity, you know. You know, but they're more interested in what talk radio has to say. They're more interested in what Donald Trump has to say. They're more interested in, you know, what so-and-so has to say. Are you interested in what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to you? Amen. Praise God. Go to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this? Fellowship. Pastor, where are my answers in fellowship? But pastor, if I just have a counseling appointment with you, you'll straighten everything out. Not as good as the Holy Ghost will straighten it out. Hopefully when you meet with me, it's to find what the Holy Ghost has already said to you. When I meet in a counseling appointment, I get down to the idea of trying to discover what the Holy Ghost has already said to somebody. Because you'll discover when you meet and counsel hundreds of people, like I have over the last 18 years, you'll find out God has already given them their answer. They've already given, you already know what to do. Don't ever say you don't know what to do. You know, don't ever say that you're clueless in life. You have an advocate, an intercessor, and a counselor living in you that will guide you into all truth. See, Jesus, if He was just physically here, what if you got separated Him, you know, from Him through distance? What if He went, you know, 10 miles away? You can't hear him. But now the Holy Ghost is here. You can hear him every day, all day. Praise God. Go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to go to the King James Version now just because it's a little less wordy and it's a little quicker to read. Go to Acts 1. We're going to start in verse 4. This is now taking place after Jesus has been crucified and after he rose again. And now after Jesus rose again, he then approached all of his followers and invited them to go to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost, to wait for the baptism of the Spirit. Amen. If you're here and you want to fulfill God's plan in your life, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to start seeking God. You need to start studying His Word. You need to start, finding out all that you can about that, because God wants you in a greater level of fellowship with Him. Amen. Look at this. In verse 4, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He's gathered together, not just with His disciples, but there's many, many other people there. It says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them." Everyone say commanded. Notice he didn't say suggested. He said commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, "You have heard of me. For John the Baptist truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." He says, when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Lord, at this time, will you make Israel great again? Lord, at this time, will you give us our political preferences? At this time, Lord, will you interject into our national politics and just straighten everything out? Are you listening to me? If you think there's a savior in this election, there is not. There's not. The answer is not found in a political person. The answer is found with the church. Starts seeking God through the Holy Ghost and starts walking out the plan of God in our nation. They said, "Will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" Look at verse 7. "And Jesus said to them, it is not for you." It is not for you. Boy, tell that to the modern church. We've gotten so obsessed with political things, political candidates. We think, oh, someone's going to get in there, they're just going to fix it all. Uh-uh. Someone might get in there and do a lot better job than we're getting right now. But you do understand, it won't fix it all. It won't even come close to fixing it all. People say, oh, come on now. No, nothing wrong with having political preferences. You know, nothing wrong with voting. Of course, we should participate in that process. But Jesus told them, when they asked them, they said, okay, Jesus is now alive from the dead. And Jesus says, I command you, go and wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I command you, go get filled with the Holy Ghost. And they said, okay, but are we going to get our political preferences? He said, it's not for you. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put into His own power. You're not trying to change the political situation. You are to pray for those people in civic government and let God deal with them. Amen. Let God deal with them. So many Christians, they're trying to deal with the president. They're trying to bring him down. They're trying to insult him and criticize him. Just so you know, God will always defend that office, even when the one is in it is doing very evil things. Is the one in the Oval Office doing evil things right now? Yes. Overwhelmingly, yes. But my job is not to personally attack him. My job is to pray for him, to pray for that office, and let God deal with it. He said, it's not, Jesus said, it's not for you, the church, to know the times and season that God has set amongst the nations, that God the Father has put into His own power. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Are you in that verse? Yes. Yeah, because you're in the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. John, James, Peter, and the other disciples, they never made it to Jamestown, New York. but you've made it here. Praise God. Now drop down to verse 12. And now Jesus gave them that command to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And then after he does that, he then is ascended. He leaves the earth. He is taken up. And remember the angels? They said, this same Jesus, in the same manner in which you have witnessed him leave, this same Jesus Christ will come back the same way. He said, as you saw him leave, he's going to come back in that same way. Folks, I'm telling you, it's getting close. It's getting close. And if that scares you, there's a problem. But if it excites you, you know, if we're in fellowship with God, it'll excite us. Then it says down in verse 12, so Jesus has now ascended. He has gone back to heaven. Then they, the disciples and all these believers, they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey or less than 1 mile. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued. Everyone said continued. Continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of all the disciples and said, and he was about to say something, but the scripture stops us and gives us a pause. It says, the number of names together were about 120. So this isn't just the 12 disciples, obviously the 11 minus Judas plus Matthias was added. So this wasn't just the 12 disciples. There's now many believers there. The women, Mary, the mother of Jesus is there. There's a lot of them there. 120 were in the upper room. Now, why does the scripture tell us that there was 120? Well, it gives us some numbers. Now, it's very, you know, interesting that these were 120 that were very interested in what God was going to do. They were waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But did you know that the scripture gives us a very good clue that there was more people that could have been there? There's more people that should have been there. Let me show you this. Hold your place in Acts chapter 1. Real quickly, jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do you know that there were more brethren? Do you know that there were actually more Christians that could have been in that upper room on the day of Pentecost? But they weren't. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why don't we start in verse 3? Look at this. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 3. I'm reading in the King James. Now Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he's unveiling this truth. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas. Who remembers who was Cephas? Peter. Cephas was just another way of saying Peter. And that he was seen by Cephas, then of the 12. How many of you remember that? He showed himself to his disciples after he was resurrected. But look at verse 6. Very interesting scripture in all the Bible. Paul then reveals, and after that, Jesus was seen, after his resurrection, of above 500 brethren at once. Wait, 500 what? Brethren. Not just 500 people. 500 brethren who confessed to be followers of Jesus Christ. All right? And it says above 500. And Paul says, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, which 1 Corinthians was written, somewhere around 30 years after Christ's resurrection. And Paul says many of those 500 or above 500, they're still alive on the earth at the time of the writing of this verse. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm sure many of them went on to be good, solid Christian people, all right? He says, but Jesus showed himself to the 12, You know, and then of course there were the women like, you know, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and there were many others. And then at one point, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to 500 other believers all at once. 500. So more people that Jesus appeared to than that are sitting here in this sanctuary right now. He showed himself alive. And remember what he gave. He gave a command for all believers to go and wait in Jerusalem until the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're talking, he says above 500. So what, 520? 550? 560? Maybe total 600 people? Maybe somewhere around 600 total were invited to go wait for the power of the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem. But how many showed up? 120 were there when a potential 500 plus were invited. These aren't just 500 people. These are 500 Christians who confess to believe. And now they are physically seeing Jesus alive from the dead. And they still didn't show up. What does that tell us? That tells us that obviously Satan worked overtime to distract the interests of those that didn't arrive. Or maybe some of them did arrive, but they didn't want to wait long enough. You know how many days they sat in prayer before the Holy Ghost showed up in Acts chapter 2? They waited 10 full days of nothing but seeking God. Notice the Holy Ghost, he came and he filled all 120 in that room. If there would have been 150 there, would he have filled them all? Yes, he would have. If there was 210, would he have filled them all? If there was 500 of them in that upper room, would he have filled them all? Yes, he would have. But he only filled those who took interest in him. He only filled those who took interest in him. What distractions came to those other 400 people? What distractions came to tear them away from what the Holy Ghost had for them? Wow. See, Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he said, there's four kinds of soil. He says, there's the wayside, there's the rocky soil, the thorny ground, and good ground. Only one out of four soils that Jesus mentioned actually produced any real fruit or harvest. So when we see that just from a percentage wise, those were all soils of people that decided to hear the word. Only one out of four at most will truly take God with a full interest. The other three will be distracted because they'll be distracted by either offense, hard-heartedness, or the cares of this world. Oh, the cares of this world. The devil is working overtime to distract our interest. It says that there were more than 500 brethren that saw Jesus. Jesus commanded them. Wow, over 400 people denied the command of Jesus Christ physically after seeing him risen from the grave. In the ministry, oh, do I dare say this? This sounds so negative. I'm not thinking of anybody in this room. I'm really not. But as a pastor over the years, it's amazing what people won't do for God. And I got to be fair. It's amazing what a lot of you do for God. It is. But I have seen so many people over the years, Pastor, I don't get it. I need help with this. You know, I need, you know, God to move in my life. And then I'll tell them what the word says that they need to do, but they don't do it. They don't do it. Folks, I'll tell you what, if you'll start fellowshipping with God, make your desire him. Your desire should be him more than the stuff you need. Your desire should be fellowship with God over the money you need or the business you need or the job you need or the relationship you need. And when you're in full fellowship, when you're not even thinking about all that other stuff, because you're so locked in on him, you just want to know him, all those other things are going to be taken care of. All the power and the answers you need are going to be found out of that fellowship that you have with him. Amen. Those people, so what does this tell us? The Holy Ghost only moves towards those that want him. Yeah. The Holy Ghost is not gonna barge into your life. The Holy Ghost doesn't come on you to give you a desire for God. The Holy Ghost shows up in your life because you already have a desire for God. I've seen so many Christians that they want the baptism of the Spirit. They think if they get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, that that'll just fix everything in their life. They think, well, if I just, you know, get filled with the Holy Ghost, if I start speaking in other tongues, then that will automatically give me more desire. No, that does not give you desire. That comes to you because you decided ahead of time to have desire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Those Christians spent 10 days in prayer and supplication waiting for the baptism of the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost came to them, filled them all because they had a great interest. Amen. Go to verse 8, and we're going to close with this. Go to Acts 1:8. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Go to verse 8, and we're going to wrap it up right here. Are you getting anything out of this? I know this isn't so much of what you're being taught here today, as much as that we need to catch this interest. We need to get a hold of an interest for God. Amen. Wow. Wow. Oh my goodness. The Holy Ghost just said this to me. He said, men, fathers, husbands, leaders of your home, your interests are the determining factor for God's power moving in your home and moving with your family. Men, you need to stand up and take a higher level of interest for your family. Lordy. Well, it's Mother's Day, so God isn't going to pick on the women here today. But I tell you what, he's going after the men, and I don't mean going after in a mean way. God's trying to encourage you, trying to, you know. Men, your interests are determining the rest that is occurring in your home and your family. If your interests are ungodly, if your interests are not the purposes of the Holy Ghost, your family is going to go without. Men, it begins with you. It starts. Of course, we know that Satan, he seeks to bind the strong man of the house. And if he can bind the strong man of the house, he could absolutely devour and steal out of that whole house. Men, your interests in the things of God are going to pave the way for God to move mightily in your home, with your children. Yes, even in natural things like your business and your finances. Men, it starts with you. How interested are you, men, in the things of God? Ladies, we know that you're more interested in the guys. That just is a natural truth. I've seen it, you know, where men typically fall behind when it comes to interest in the things of God. But there's a reason for that. Because men are more attacked in their minds if they're married, if they are, you know, taking their place in their home as a leader of the home. Men, it is you that set the standard. It doesn't mean that a woman can't set, you know, a great standard in the home. Ladies, we are so grateful for you here today. But men, you are going to set the example. You've got to take leadership in your home and say, this is a God family. This is God first, no matter how convenient or inconvenient it is. No matter what we've got to do in this family to change things up, to put God first. I'm just obeying God right now, by the way. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, and the way he started, you know, that when he spoke to me a moment ago, he said, men, he said it just like that, you know, not in necessarily anger, but it was definitely stern. Men, it starts with you. Men, it starts with you. Glory to God. Say, well, you know, God's saying that women don't matter. That is not what God is saying. Thank God. I'll tell you how many homes would be underwater right now with God if it wasn't for the women, you know, and their praying and their faithfulness. Thank God for godly women. Well, I obeyed. I delivered that word as it was given to me. I had no plans on ever saying that, especially on Mother's Day. Acts 1:8. Let's look at this verse and we'll wrap it up right here. He told them as a response, he said, no, it's not for you to know the political seasons. that God's going to deal with the nations. He says, but you. Everyone say, but you. We can say it this way, but me. But me. Amen. He says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When you get filled with the Spirit, now be careful before you start shouting out answers, and I know your answers would be, you know, correct as well. But the very first thing, what is the very first thing the Holy Ghost gives us when we get filled with the Spirit? This should tell us a lot about who the Holy Ghost is. The first thing that we get, you say, well, it's power. Yeah, absolutely. What is that power for? That power is so that you will be a witness to everybody around you in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first thing that you receive when you get filled with the Holy Ghost is this, a ministry. You get a ministry. Say, what? I'm not talking about the kind of ministry that you get a paycheck from the church. I'm talking about the ministry of reconciliation. Because you are in fellowship with God, and that power spills over onto the people that are around you in your life. The first thing that God gives you, when you get full of the Spirit, He gives you influence and souls. There are people that God has set up to see God in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, and this is where the perversion of modern day doctrine is teaching Christians that we get the power of the Spirit to empower our money, our success. They think that the power of the Holy Ghost comes to you and stops with you. No, the power of the Holy Ghost doesn't come to you and stop with you. The power of the Holy Ghost comes to you to flow through you because to get to someone else, there's power in you for some other soul that is waiting for your faithfulness. See, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bringing souls to Christ. I tell you what, we said this on Wednesday night. The first and greatest demonstration of the Spirit inside the heart of a believer is a concern for the lost. Someone that has no concern in winning lost souls, I tell you what, I don't believe they're Spirit-filled. I don't believe it. But Pastor, they speak in tongues and all they prophesy. I don't care. Jesus said there's going to be people that prophesy in His name that are going to go to hell. Woo! Did I just say that? No, Jesus said it. Matthew chapter 7, you can read it for yourself. Remember? Jesus said, you know, there'll be people, they'll say, wait. Have we not prophesied in your name? Done many great works and performed miracles in your name? That's a problem. Those people thought they were doing the miracles. The name was doing the miracles. Right? And Jesus said, yeah, but I never knew you. He said, depart from me, those that work iniquity. Hello? They prophesied. They performed miracles. And Jesus said, yeah, great, but I had no fellowship with you. I had no fellowship with you. He said, everything you did was for your own glory. It wasn't for mine. Depart from me. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Oh, boy, praise God, hallelujah. Someone that tells me they have no concern for the lost, and yet they claim to be Spirit-filled, I don't believe it. I don't. Because the very first thing Jesus said, He said that you're going to receive a power. Power is going to manifest in you to go through you to get to somebody else. The most Spirit-filled people I have ever known, and some of you are sitting in this room right now, the most Spirit-filled people that I've ever known. I know them, you know, personally. I see their personal life. They're always working to enrich somebody else in God's plan. If they're lost, they want to get them saved. If they're sick, they want to see them healed. If their marriage is hurting, they want their marriage to get restored. People that are Spirit-filled do not look at themselves. They don't want to use the Holy Ghost for their own selfish benefit. They want to be used by the Holy Ghost to be a blessing to somebody else. The first thing that you were given when you got filled with the Spirit is that you were given influence. Somebody in this world is waiting for you and I. Folks, what do you think Jamestown City Revival is all about? They're waiting on us, as others. Praise God. Thank God for other ministries and organizations that are doing the same thing. Praise God. The power of the Holy Ghost is the most active in the life of a person who is in service to the Lord. Service to the Lord means serving others. Oh boy, glory to God. The power of the Holy Ghost is most active in the life of a believer who is serving by winning souls, praying for people, serving in the local church, building up other believers. People that are always participating in bringing a move of God into someone else's life. People that help the Holy Spirit accomplish the needs and the changes in people's lives and enriching them in God's plan. Folks, I want to see you go higher. I want to see you move in all that God has for your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Ooh, and I'm just going to say this and we'll close. The Holy Ghost has no interest in people that tear down others. Isn't that exactly what we've been preaching about around here? The Holy Ghost is grieved when we tear down others. The Holy Ghost is grieved when we use profane language. You know that? Where is that verse? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to those that hear it. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, when we talk about people and we criticize them and we tear them down, it grieves the Holy Ghost. It hurts his heart when we tear other people down. When we attack leadership, when we criticize the way leaders do things, the way that leaders and helpers are living or acting in the ministry. Here we go. The reason why the modern day church doesn't see more of the miraculous is because they're trying to get the Holy Ghost to perform their own selfish desires. And like I said, we don't use the Holy Ghost. We let the Holy Ghost use us. Folks, your needs already should be met. Meaning, what I mean by that, by faith, your needs are already met. If a need arises in my life, which they arise all the time, Father, by faith, I receive the help I need in that area. Lord, you see it. You're faithful. I receive your promise in Jesus' name. Done. People are laboring to get the money they need. Meaning, spiritually speaking, they're praying and they're laboring and they're desiring for all this help for them. If you turn that effort and turn that faith in the direction of someone who needs Christ, somebody else that needs to be enriched in God's plan, if you start praying for others, I'll tell you what, your needs will just be met automatically. Isn't that biblical? The book of Job. There you go. Where is that verse? Job 42:10. Wasn't planned. Someone mentioned Job over here. And that verse, Job 42:10. Can we bring that up on the scripture? We'll close right here. Job 42:10. It's coming. It's racing through the pipeline. It's chugging through the pipes. It's right there. Oh, there it is. Praise the Lord. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. See, we always think of Job, we think of his misery. Do you know that God did something about that? God turned his captivity, made him the most blessed man, happiest man, even though he went through, you know, what we would call hell on earth. It says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he asked God for all of his money back. When he asked for himself to be the most prominent man in the East. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Job is the oldest written book of the Bible. Do you know that? And yet, even back there, God was looking to put power in somebody's life so that they would reach out and use it for others. Amen. Folks, if you need to stir up a desire to see the lost come to Christ, stir it up. Stir it up. And I'm telling you, if you will get this close to the Holy Ghost, If you'll move, if you'll just take one step closer to him, you'll start to learn that he is thinking about people who need to be saved, people who need to be redeemed, people that need to be healed, people that need to be restored. Amen. But the modern day gospel, if we're not careful, the American gospel gets very selfish. And I'll tell you what, selfishness is killing the miraculous. Someone somewhere has got to be interested in what the Holy Ghost is truly interested in. Folks, will you be interested in these days? Will you be interested in what the Holy Ghost wants to do in your generation? Will you fellowship with him and take time apart with him? Amen? It's real easy. Word and prayer. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Worship him. Praise him. Glorify him. Find everything in your life you can thank him for and just start thanking him. I'll tell you what. This generation needs to see people who are interested in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what. You'll start laying hands on the sick because you truly, your heart and compassion will want to see them delivered. Amen. You'll see someone who doesn't know Christ and you just won't be able not to tell them about Jesus because it hurts your heart so much to think of anyone being lost when they don't have to be. Right. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. We all talk about the power of the Holy Ghost, but what was he for? Fellowship and to put power in our lives to get to somebody else. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you today. Lord, we just make a decision right now. We know and understand we're living in this era of so many distractions, so much disinterest. But there's things that you want to do. Lord, we want to be interested. We determine right now to be interested. And Lord, we understand that we're not just trying to fabricate a feeling. But Lord, you said over there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 to stir ourselves up. Stir ourselves up. And Lord, we know if we're not hungry for the things of God, it's because we've gotten full on other things. And so maybe we're going to have to fast some of those other things to redevelop our hunger for you. Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. You are holy and you are good. Yep. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. There was over 500 that could have been there, but less than 20% showed up. They all could have been filled, but a small percentage was interested. Lord, I want to be part of the 120 as opposed to the other 400 that didn't show up that day. Some people would call them the extreme Christians. Oh, look at them. They're Holy Ghost people. They're extreme. They're weird. No, it's not weird. Father, we just want to know you. We bless you and worship you. With all heads bowed, every eye closed before we are dismissed, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The greatest gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you'll just speak with your mouth that he's your Lord and Savior and then mean it and believe it in your heart, that he raised Jesus from the dead, you will have all your sins washed, you'll be delivered from eternal punishment, and the greatest gift is that you're given fellowship with God. If that's you here today, I'm not gonna make you stand up, I'm not gonna bring you down front, but if you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I need my sins to be washed and cleansed, I need to make this decision for the first time, And I need to know that I'm saved and that I'm heaven bound. Listen, this room is filled with people that have made that decision. No one's gonna ridicule you. We're gonna rejoice with you. I'm not gonna walk up to you. All I'm gonna do is simply ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll just simply say, I see that hand. You can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and invite Jesus into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you'd say, Pastor, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that my sins are washed so I don't ever go to hell. If that's you, could you just lift your hand real quick? Is there anybody before we pray? Just want to make sure. Lord, I don't see any hands. I've got to just trust and believe that everyone then is walking with Jesus. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But Father God, if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice has not made Jesus their Lord, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. Father, I pray that laborers would be across their path to tell them again and to lead them into salvation. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you today. We're interested. There's so much disinterest in these days, but we're going to be interested. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Did you get something out of this here today? Did you get some help? Folks, let's stir ourselves up. I know it's always, you know, a responsibility, but folks, it doesn't have to be something that's dirgy or, you know, something that is a dread. I'll tell you what, the happiest life is knowing him. Amen. You know, kind of along the lines of what we were talking about, I had somebody, a woman in our Erie church last night approached me, and she was talking about two nights ago. I guess we're having all these northern lights and all this aerial phenomenon. Has anybody heard about that? So how many of you have seen that taking place? I guess it's supposed to be happening again tonight. I had no clue that it was even going on, but she came up to me last night. She said, Pastor, my husband and I, we got up early. We went out at 3 a.m. and we saw just these spectacular lights over the city of Erie. She said, even though there was a lot of city lights and stuff, we still could see it. And we looked across our neighborhood and there was no one standing outside, no one looking, everything around us was quiet, nobody really cared. And she said, you know, coincidentally, you know, especially how it corresponds with your message, she said, my husband looked over at me and he just said, I guess nobody's interested. I guess nobody's interested. Folks, that's just an illustration. I mean, think of those that beautiful phenomenon that's taking place in our atmosphere. And not saying that someone's wrong for not getting up at 3 a.m. I was in bed at 3 a.m. that morning, right? But it's an illustration that God wants to do so many wonderful, miraculous things. But he's just asking, who's going to be interested in it? Amen. Let's just give God the praise. Father, we glorify you. Father, we just pronounce a very special blessing upon each of our mothers that are here today. We love them. We honor them. Lord, we ask you to bless them and strengthen them and reward them for their faithfulness. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.